The South Asia summit comes days after two nearly successful attempts to kill Pakistan's president. Those attacks on Pervez Musharraf have U.S. officials very worried. Talking to reporters yesterday in South Texas, President Bush said he'd spoken with the Pakistani leader recently.
Obviously, terrorists are after him, and he sounded very confident that his security forces would be able to deal with the threat. Now, President Musharraf has been a friend of the United States. He's been a stand-up guy when it comes to dealing with the terrorists.
One of the suicide bombers in the last assassination attempt was a member of a Pakistan-based Kashmir insurgent group that's fighting Indian rule. Security experts say that would-be assassin must have had inside information from among President Musharraf's own military guards. Islamic militant factions do exist within the Pakistani army. I spoke earlier with a correspondent for the Far Eastern Economic Review, Ahmed Rashid. The assassination attempt weakens Musharraf's hold on power, he says, and strengthens groups that would like him gone.
In a sense, it is the extremists, people who don't want reconciliation with India, people who are not keen on the continued alliance in the war against terrorism with the United States. So all this points to the extremist groups linked to Al-Qaeda, that is Pakistani extremist groups linked to Al-Qaeda.
Why is it that Mr. Musharraf and his security forces don't seem capable of rooting out these inside informants who appear to be tipping off the would-be assassins to exactly where he will be and when he will be at particular points where they can make another attempt on him?
Well, certainly that's a big question that most Pakistanis are asking. I mean, why hasn't there been a kind of purge of people in the military or the intelligence agencies? It hasn't happened so far. Is it because the president is too weak to do this and he fears that there would be much more serious repercussions if he actually carries out some kind of purge of suspected people within the military? Musharraf has given a lot of rhetoric for the benefit of the Americans, I think, as to how he wants moderate Islam, this and that. But at the same time, Pakistan has gone ahead and continued backing these militant groups who are fighting in Kashmir, who are very much part of the Taliban resurgence that is taking place inside Afghanistan right now. So I think, you know, Musharraf now faces a very serious choice, which he's been trying to avoid since 9/11. And that is that you can't play a double game, both backing and cracking down on these extremists. You have to do one or the other.
Ahmed Rashid, I wonder if the survival of Pervez Musharraf as the leader of Pakistan is not in some ways more important outside Pakistan than inside Pakistan.
Well, I think in both cases it's very important here too, because frankly here, in any future assassination attempt, there's no clear succession. Would the army take over again? Would the army empower the civilian prime minister, Zafrullah Khan Jamali, to choose a new president and a new army chief? It's very likely that the army would take over again, in which case Pakistan would be back to square one. So I think, you know, the certainly abroad there's enormous concern, but at home there's the same concern. Now, the second part of this equation is obviously that any kind of military successor to Musharraf, would he lean more towards the fundamentalist camp? Would he lean more towards defiance of the United States, a pullout in the war against terrorism? Or would he go along with the United States? And that's a very open question. Pakistanis don't know the answer to that. I don't think the Americans know the answer to that, which is the primary reason why the Americans, despite all the misgivings about Musharraf, have been putting all their money on him for the last 2 or 3 years.
Two assassination attempts, two very close attempts in 2 weeks. I mean, what do you expect?
Well, we certainly expect more assassination attempts. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that these terrorists who have tried once and twice, they have the capacity to try many times more until they succeed. I mean, there is open war between this group, whoever it is, and the president.
Ahmed Rashid in Lahore, Pakistan. He writes for the Far Eastern Economic Review and is author most recently of Jihad, The Rise of Militant Islam in Central Asia. Another analyst, the vice president of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, George Perkovich, says the assassination of President Musharraf could provoke a disaster for the region and U.S. foreign policy. Earlier, I asked if he thought the U.S. had plans to seize control of Pakistan's nuclear weapons if Islamic militant assassins succeed and throw open the question of what happens next in Pakistan.
It would be desirable from a worst-case standpoint to undertake that kind of planning, first of all. And it would be desirable if we could do it in worst case. The problem, I believe, is that we actually don't know where all the Pakistani weapons are. So that if we wanted to send commandos in an extreme situation to somehow go out and remove these weapons, we don't really know where they are. And that's natural in a sense that Pakistan does everything it can to keep people from knowing where these weapons are because they require that secrecy to maintain their deterrent. And the flip side is it makes it very difficult for someone like us to come in and get them. So, yes, I'm sure we'd like to plan that contingency. We'd like to know where those weapons are so we can do it. But I doubt the capacity's there.
I would think that people at the U.S. State Department, at the Pentagon, at the National Security Council would be a little nervous about that, especially with these successive attempts to assassinate the president of Pakistan.
I think U.S. officials are very nervous about this. There's much to be nervous about in Pakistan. The more realistic dangerous scenario is actually not the kind of a grab for weapons by renegade Pakistani military or other people. The more realistic dangerous scenario is that you have another crisis between India and Pakistan, of which there have been many. And in that situation, Pakistan may mobilize their nuclear weapons and put them out into the field in order to be prepared for a war with India. Once they're mobilized and moving around, they actually become easier to hijack at that point. So I think the highest order challenge really is to prevent any more of these grave crises between India and Pakistan, because that's where you're going to get the most likely risk of either theft, diversion, or a war that could result in nuclear weapons use.
George Perkovich, Vice President for Studies at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. George, thank you.
Thank you.
And our thanks also to Ahmed Rashid of the Far Eastern Economic Review.